Hey, we're going to get together. We're going to have a dysfunction. Got all the family members. I want to tell you something. We got alcoholics. We got greed mongers, too. We're going to have a dysfunction. It wouldn't be complete without you. Today we're talking about dysfunction and the dysfunctions of society. And once again, if you've just tuned in, we're talking with Beth Walsh Erickson.
Yeah, and I'm from Beth Wee. I'm one of the co-founders of BethWE.com.
What's it called?
BethWE.com.
How do you say it, though?
BethWE.com.
Oh, BethWE.com.
Right.
Somebody with a little something by the tongue. BethWE.com.
And we are really trying to reach out to people that are in chains and hoping to help people find peace of mind and useful and purposeful lives.
Yeah, you got a guy who's the director of Top Gun. Now we hear through the saying that he had cancer, and the family members said, no, he didn't have cancer. You go, there's a guy who seemingly has it all. A great director. He's in the center of Hollywood and the heartbeat of our modern-day society, part of the romance of our royalty, the only royalty we have in America is Hollywood, jumps off a bridge. I would say that's slightly dysfunctional.
Yeah, people are dealing with dysfunction these days in all areas. The economy has really pushed people's the characteristics of dysfunction into overdrive for people. You got to figure everybody in the world has needs. And they're needs that are created in the person. So when God sewed us all together, he put these instinctive needs in us. And we all need our place in society. We all need a security, both financial and emotional. And we all need sex. I mean, once you're a sexual being, you're a sexual being. It doesn't go away. And people have these...
Yippee.
People have these... People will go to different lengths to get these needs met. And some of us, when the needs were hard to get met as children, we developed tools to get them met. Some of us lied. Some of us stole. Some of us cheated. Some of us pretended to be somebody we're not. Some of us fixed other people. We all found ways to do it. And we need to get these needs met. So you take somebody who was raised in dysfunction, and maybe they were the fixer in their family, the person that everybody went to get their needs. You know, oh, this happened to me. What should I do? They were the Ann Landers of the family. Or they were the one that could put two people back together.
Are you the Ann Landers of your family?
I am not. I have a sister, Jeannie, who had that role. And to this day, as adult children, when something's going on, Jeannie usually knows because somebody's going to call her and talk to her about it. Because she was a good listener. She seemed to have her head together most of the time, and she just was the one we went to. And
people get that sort of wisdom. They shouldn't be born with it.
Actually, if you do psychological studies or you talk to one of the therapists in town, like Vicki Shannon is a certified addictions professional, and she taught me about the different family members. I guess like it kind of goes your family of origin. The first person has a role of hero. The next person has the role of the scapegoat. The next person has the role of the lost child. And the fourth is the mascot. And people tend to fill these roles. If you look at families, you know, the firstborn is usually the hero. They're out, you know, everybody's proud of them. Mom, dad, they're proud of them. The next
one. My brother was the firstborn. He was always out winning the awards. And, you know, he was the great football player, baseball's a little leaguer, you know.
And that's where he got his needs met. The hero in the family learns to get their needs met by achievement, especially in middle-class America. Achievement is kind of the big prize.
Yeah, he was the straight A student. You know, I was the C student or less. And then he was going to be a dental surgeon and suddenly drops out and lives his whole life on a boat, on a sailboat, you know? And I asked him, but right last time I saw him before he died, I said, why did you spend your life like this? You know, you were the handsomest. You know, had all the girls. You were a straight-A student going up to college, going to be a dental surgeon. He said he got in college, looked out the window, and said, I don't want to spend my life inside. I want to be out there. He spent the entirety of his life on that boat sailing around.
That's awesome. That's awesome that he knew himself.
Yeah.
Well, he knew himself well enough to be who he really was.
And as the second born, he scared me because he was odd. In other words, odd. You ever have that in life? Odd, like, I just lost an odd character in my life now. Neil Stannard, who I thought was very odd. And I remember years ago meeting him. Oh, he kind of scared me because he was different. And then later on in life, really embracing him because he was very wise, very creative, loved puns, wrote for our magazine. The guy was so talented. He no longer scared me. I embraced Viva la Difference, the fact that he was different and didn't fit in as a cog in the wheel in society. But it took years of me getting more secure in myself to be able to accept those that are a little different in life, you know.
So we'll think about what you're talking about there, Rhett. You're talking about living outside the box. Thinking outside the box is what we say, or pushing the envelope. What do boxes and envelopes do? They contain things. So when somebody lives outside of the envelope or pushes the envelope or lives outside the box or thinks outside the box, they're going out to where people who are kind of hooked on dysfunction, they're not going to go outside that box because
there's security.
That's right.
Like, you watch Charlie Rose and you see these people on there with the fake British accent. Hey, man, we went to Harvard University and then we read 2,000 novels on sailing and then we went out to the sea and we cast on this. And I go, oh, I just slap that guy across the face and go, geez, do you ever eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and just laugh?
Well, that's kind of what it is, because in a dysfunctional family, in a dysfunctional family setting, you're not supposed to feel, you're not supposed to talk, and you're not supposed to tell other people what's wrong.
So we build weird walls around ourselves.
That's right. So your brother who was on the dysfunctional path, but I mean, nonetheless, a success path, and he decides to get off, and we think that's odd. We find that to be the odd thing, where he was actually pursuing the passion of his life. He knew himself well enough to look out the window and say, I want to be outside.
The oddities, the geniuses, we call them tramps. You might find your greatest savior homeless, sleeping beneath the street lamp.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And there, and the beauty of it is that those people challenge us. Those of us that live in dysfunction, they challenge us to be our best self. They challenge us to look at what we could be if we only put down the trappings, the things that make us feel safe. Because safety it's a perceptual thing. It's what you think is safety. Some people think it's material goods. It's the house, the cars, the bank accounts. And that's security to them.
Yeah, we all build these false facades, don't we?
We do.
I remember when I first got in this business, I got depressed because I'm meeting the rich and famous. And it kind of like, before you're with the rich and famous, you kind of go, well, they're all there and they're having a big party and they're all connected. And then you go over to somebody's famous house and they got $1 billion and you go, they're taking out the garbage and cleaning up the dog poop. And they're doing everything we do. There ain't nothing special about them. And you go, that's kind of scary. I thought somebody was there. And then you meet a president and you go, I don't feel comfortable here. I don't want to be near the Oval Office because this is the seat of power. This is all this guy? What? He just excused himself to the president sits on the toilet? Oh, no. He's just like us. Who's in charge? I'm scared. Seriously, in all seriousness, though, it's kind of scary because you wonder who is in charge.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot to think about. But basically what we're looking at is... What we're looking at is people are in pain, and what will they do to get out of pain? And that's where dysfunction comes into play.
Now, when we come back for the next segment, can you tell us how to escape these dysfunctions and how to own up and be honest? This could mean that I'll be closing down my radio station. I'm going to get in a dilapidated vehicle. I'm going to put my canvases into the back of my vehicle, and I'm going to go up north to Maine. I'm going to sit on the beach, the cool, the craggy beaches, and I'm just going to make paintings and beg for lobster sandwiches. We'll be right back.
Lobster sandwiches.